All right. So we're talking about Proverbs. Proverbs 21:15-16. Now, I started this off by telling you that you can understand and not understand. Why? Because you got to get a grasp of the depth of God in your life. And you know what, people? I want you to get this because it's so important. You can understand the Word of God. How many people, you know, to some degree, know the Ten Commandments? You know, you're not supposed to kill, you're not supposed to lie, you're not supposed to cheat, you're not supposed to be an adulterer, you're not supposed to be an adulteress, you're not supposed to be this, you're not supposed to be do that. But you know, you've been all in things. So do you understand? The answer is hell no. You see, you can understand and truly not understand. That's why it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And without fear of the living God, you are never going to have the right understanding of the Word of God. Are you starting to see where I'm going? You see, the truth is this. The Word of God is always true. Jesus said when He came that I did not come to supersede the Old Testament, if you will, but I came to fulfill the Old Testament. He said that I am not going to delete any of it, but I am going to fulfill it. So all these people that know nothing but the New Testament are stupid. And what I'm saying is we need to have knowledge of truth. And the truth is that God wrote the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. God provided a path for you to get to heaven, Jesus. But you got to get on the path to get to heaven, which is follow Christ. Amen? And I'm not trying to make this a big old theological dissertation of truth. I'm trying to get it down to a place where you can understand and really understand instead of understand and miss the whole point. The whole point is this. God is holy. Amen? God is holy. Did you get that? God is holy and He calls us to be holy. Not perfect. Not one that doesn't make mistakes, because we're going to make mistakes. But we're supposed to take and learn and repent of those things and go forward in our life. Amen? When I was a kid, I was a Catholic. Why? Because I'm Italian, Roman Catholic. All my brothers were altar boys. I was an altar boy. When the priest spoke in Latin, I answered in Latin. Did I understand what I was supposed to say? Yes. But did I understand what it meant? No. And so are most people that read the Word of God. They read it, they understand what it says, but they do not understand what it means. Now, whether it's a choice to believe or not to believe or some kind of a game, I don't know. But I'm telling you that in all you're getting, get understanding. All right? I asked you, I said, how many people here kind of know the Ten Commandments? It's not my required memory verses. Because I want you to know the closer you get to Jesus, the more of your old self you are going to shed. So I am a relationist. It's not in the dictionary. There's not a word. Emilio pointed that out to me. There is not in the word in the dictionary that is relationist. So I'm going to start my own dictionary. I am not a legalist. I am a relationist. The relation you have with God Almighty is going to take and push out all that wickedness you got in your life. And nothing else is going to do it. That's why I will be a relationist, not a legalist. I can sit here and tell you every day, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And I do. But I know that you're never going to learn to be obedient until you get a relationship with God, and it means more to you than anything else. Amen? But I also want you to know that He is not your punk. Did you get that? You're not going to punk God and get away with it. You might punk somebody from the hood and maybe get away with it, but you are never going to get over on God. And you got to just start by understanding that much anyway. Amen? I just want to put it in a way you can understand truth. Now listen to me. In the end, what I'm going to teach you today is not my words. It is God's words. And fear is the beginning of wisdom. Amen? And His word is true and amen. It's like I said, Robert. Now Robert's not here, but Frank. If God came up and said Frank had a pink suit on, He'd have a pink suit on. Frank got no say about what God said. Whatever God said is true. And amen, and that's the end of it. You get it? You see, you've got to get that much understanding that God's word is not up for debate. God's word is not subject to negotiation, nor your slide on interpretation. God's word is yea and amen. All right? How many people believe God's word is true? Well, I'm going to ask you one more time because there's a whole lot of people here that don't believe. How many people believe God's word is true?
Amen.
And you better learn to think like that. That God's word is true and it is yea and amen. And it does not in any way supersede itself in any area. It says Jesus came along and said that a divided house would not stand. So why would He come to earth and tell Himself that He was wrong before, but He's right now? Who is the Word?
Jesus.
Who's the Word?
Jesus.
So if Jesus is the Word, the Old Testament and the New Testament is all Jesus. You see, I'm trying to get you to understand something. That God, Jesus, is the spoken word. And the spoken word is power, and it is yea and amen. And you need the fear of the Lord in your life to begin to really get understanding. I believe in lightning bolts. I've seen them. And when people are lying or doing this or that or making fun of God or whatever, I start walking away. I don't want to be nowhere in the neighborhood if God decides in His infinite wisdom to split that sucker right down the middle. Because He's God. And if He wants to do those things, He can do those things. Now, are we under a grace dispensation? We are underneath the grace that started at the time Jesus hung on the cross. But it said that at the end of our lives, God will judge the living and the dead, and there will be a great white throne judgment, which means that you will give an account for everything that you have done that is not under the blood of Jesus. Amen? And you got to repent, not just be sorry you got caught. Did you get that? There's a lot of people that are sorry they get caught, but most people I know are only sorry because they got caught. So, I'm going to call this Bible study, Do You Really Understand? Father God, I love You today, God. And God, I know that without that supernatural from You, Lord, that everything is in vain. And Lord, I just ask today that Your Holy Spirit, You are welcome in this place. That You just come in and You open up hearts and minds that these people might hear and see and listen to Your truth, God. That it be this day, right now, that each person in this room has an open heart and an open mind to receive what You have to say, that they don't play their games, that they don't play those alternative thoughts, but that they listen and recognize whatever You say is true, and we need to line up with it. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said,
Amen.
So I hope by my opening statement that you get the point that I believe God and Jesus are on the same side. Because that's really what I'm telling you. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one. And Jesus said that a divided house would not stand. And you know, it's like if we don't believe the Old Testament along with the New Testament, then in fact, we're saying that God didn't know what He was talking about at some time. And God always knows what He's talking about. And He always means what He says. So you know, there's a lot of people that just got it wrong. You see, we are under a grace dispensation, which means that we're probably not as in great a danger as Sodom and Gomorrah went through. But in the end, when push comes to shove, brother and sister, there is going to be a judgment day, and you're going to be there. And you can, you know, a lot of people will sit there, and I used to wonder years ago, how come God held me so close to Him and held me so tight and wouldn't let me do all this stuff I've seen other new converts doing, and it seemed like they were getting ahead, and it seemed like they were getting honor and glory, and it seemed like they were really going places, and they were cool, and they were this, and they were that, and I was stuck at a church just cleaning it, a lot of times by myself, with no help, and I was going, how come they're having all the fun, and I got all the work? Here, did I hit all your chords today? But you know what? All those people that were doing those kinds of things, almost to a man, fell away. And I'm here. What's the point? The point is, you see, I had fear of the Lord, and I believed I should be right, and I should do right, and I should start to think right, and I should work right for Him, because I believe who He is. And I look back and I wonder if they even knew who He was. You understand? That's why I'm talking about there is understanding and then there is understanding. You know, there are people that can quote you chapter and verse. The devil can sit in his room and run it all down to you without even catching a breath because he don't have to. But if he understood a whole lot, he never would allow Jesus Christ to be crucified on the cross and setting us free. So it's not about what we think we understand. I'm telling you, there's understanding, and then there is understanding. And do you understand, or do you understand? You get it? I'm not trying to play on words, but if you think and you listen to what I'm telling you, I am challenging you to really think what you believe in. Because if you believe there's one word written in this Bible that's wrong, then the devil will challenge you in that in every area of your life forever. But if you believe every word in this Bible is right, the devil can't challenge you on it because you're going to know it is right and it is true and you ain't getting away with nothing. It's going to slow you down to a dead still on that sin nature side. Amen? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm going to go one more place and then I'm going to get to my scripture. Am I doing okay so far? In Matthew, it talks about that the hypocrites will get the same reward as those that are unbelievers. That's what it says. What it says is those people who claim to be something but do not act like who they claim they are, that's a hypocrite. A hypocrite is somebody that claims to be somebody but does not act like who they say they are. They will be cut in half. Oh, who's saying that, by the way? Jesus! The same guy you lean on so hard all the time when you know that you shouldn't, that you should be doing right. He said that if you are a hypocrite, I will come in a time that you do not expect and I will cut you in half. And you will get the same portion as the unbelievers. Fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. You see, you don't fear God. If you start to fear God, your sin nature would really start to die. Amen? Because there's going to be a consequence. And listen to me. You see, now this is how it is, and this is how we all line up. You either sin and wait to get hit on the head because that's all you know of God. Right? You know, you read His Word. This is the people that understand. They read His Word, and they sit there and they go, well, you know, it's no big deal. You know, God will forgive me and this and that. And they don't have no fear at all, and so they sin large. And then there's the other side that believes the Word of God. They understand. Right? And they know that there's going to be a consequence for action, so when they watch other people go do things, they don't go. Why? Because they really understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's why you got to think about this. There is understanding, and there is understanding. How do you understand? Now let's go. Help me, Lord. In 15:21, verse 15, it says, it is a joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. What is iniquity? It's sin. Workers of iniquity mean you're working on it all the time. Right? Some of us have been great workers of iniquity. We've been working on it regularly. It's like a job. We work on it every day. Intentionally, purposely, planning it. But what's the Bible say? What's it say? The workers of iniquity will be destroyed. It says, it is a joy for the just to do justice. How many people want joy? Hello? You want joy in your life? Then do those things that are just. Duh! You got to get a hold of this. You see, I'm not a very deep preacher. I'm a very real preacher. Amen? I recognize that sometimes people look at the Word of God and make it too complicated. I want to be happy. So I'm going to do the things that are just. Does it mean I'm going to walk around giggly like a little girl? 6 years old or so? No! It means that I'm going to concentrate on doing the right things so that I can have full joy in my life. And don't get me wrong, you guys sound just as bad, some of you, to this day. Amen? I'm just trying to be real, you know, I'm just trying to make that connection. And it says, a man who wanders from the way of understanding, somebody who knows right and consistently does wrong, will rest in the assembly of the dead. Wow! Sounds like Matthew, written by Matthew, who is listening to Jesus, is saying the same thing in the New Testament as what you're reading in the Old Testament. You get it? What he said was, those of you that are hypocrites, those of you that claim to be my followers, those of you that are out there perpetrating sin lifestyles and telling everybody you're holy, you have wandered from the way of understanding, and you do understand, although you don't understand, will reap the reward of the sin condition, and that sin condition, it will be death. Now, I mean, now we can get into something really fancy here, and we can go into this salvation issue. You know, are you saved or aren't you saved? Well, you know, if you don't think you're saved, the only way to be sure is to make sure that you are saved. How do you know that you are saved? You start to do the things your dad asked. Let me take you to one more set of verses. We're going to go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Matthew 7. 7. Do you really understand? You see, I want you to really understand. You know, I don't want to debate the salvation issue here, because to me it's a waste of time. Because I don't know if you're saved or not. I'm going to be a fruit inspector, and I'm going to see if you have fruit of God or fruit of the devil or fruit of your flesh. If you have fruit of God, I assume God lives in you. Amen? Because the only way you're going to have fruit from God are if God lives in you, period. But if you have fruit of your flesh, which means you're self-willed and you live your life self-willed, then I'm going to assume that your God is you. And if I see you devil worshiping and stuff and chanting and running around doing all that kind of stuff, then I'm going to assume your daddy's the devil. Come on now. Don't get so religious that you can't see truth. I don't think everybody that walks into church with a Bible is even close to saved. Devil's got plenty. Whenever he wants to pick one up, he can go to, who are those people that give us Bibles all the time? Gideon's. He can drop by Gideon's. They'll give him one. Everybody can have a Bible. That don't make you saved. You know? I'm just trying to tell you, man. You guys got to get real. Let's go to Matthew 7 here. I love this verse. This gives me fear. And I like fear because fear keeps me right. Amen? Okay, where is it? It's over here somewhere. I don't know. 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Hey, I didn't write it. The same guy that talked about slicing you in half is the same guy that wrote that. He's your Savior. He's your path. But you got to be on the path to be saved. You know what I mean? It's so, to me, it's like, you know, I went through a lot of stuff. You know, when I got saved, I listened to all these preachers and all these teachers. And I started out in a church where, you know, you're just saved and you're saved forever no matter what you do. And everybody was trading wives and trading husbands. And I mean, you know, it was a very much an ungodly place. And I went to church and they all looked good though. They had suits and ties on and long dresses. And I guess they didn't wear them very long because of everything that was going on there. But I mean, it was a very seedy place. And this was supposed to be a house of the Lord. And I'm over there in the back. And they're sitting there telling me, and I know they believed it from the way they acted, they were believing that they were saved. You hear me? And I'm telling you, man, it was like every 5-10 years they do a trade-in. It was sick. Trust me on this, man. And I'm a new believer, and I'm looking around, and this used to be this guy's wife, now it's his wife, but his wife is now her. Yeah, it was crazy. And I'm sitting there going, man, what did I get myself into here? And it was a church building, and it was a church, and it doesn't matter what denomination. It was very fundamental, I'll tell you that much. They were so straight-laced when they sat down when they squeaked. You know what I mean? And that wasn't the furniture. That was the creases in their clothes and everything, you know. I mean, they were straight-looking. And I came in an old grease ball. You know what I mean? I mean, that's where I went. And I mean, I still had my twins and everything, and I started shaving myself up and make myself look like them. But it was like within about a few months, I knew I could not be like them. Amen? You can cut my hair, you can shave my face, but you can't make me be a hypocrite. There's no percentage in it. Hypocrites get cut in half. I read that right away. I seen body parts. It was no good. You get it? And Jesus said that if you are a hypocrite, that you will get cut in half. If you speak it but you don't live it, you will get cut in half and thrown into the fire. That's your reward. Amen? Well, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And Jesus is the same in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the light of the world. And if you follow Him, you'll be in the light. But if you don't follow Him, you got problems. Amen? And what I'm trying to get through to you today, and I'm not trying to confuse you today, but what I'm trying to get through to you today is this. Do you really understand? Or do you just understand? Amen? Because if you really understand, you're going to shake up and perk up. You're going to start paying attention when you have a Bible study. You're going to start to fly right in your life. Your life is going to start to change. You're going to quit your clowning. Amen? Because when you really understand, you figure out it ain't no game. It must be a way of life. And in all you're getting, you must get understanding. All right? And understanding is not a bunch of words that you spew out your mouth. Understanding is a changed life that you live. I'm not telling you you're saved, and I'm not telling you you're not saved. I am not defining that in this study at all. What I'm trying to bring home to you is the truth that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And the gift is eternal salvation through His Son, Jesus. But you see, you have to receive that gift and walk on that path and be in that light to be saved. Amen? The gift is for everybody. You know, when you were born, Jesus walked up and He said, "Here, Frank, this is the gift." Amen? And He said that to every one of you that is in this room. But if you don't open a package and get on the path, then you have not received the gift, even though the gift is there for you. And in the end, what I'm trying to get through to you is I am tired of all the misconceptions. And I am not a person that has any room for any leniency in my life. I played around too much, too long, and He don't owe me nothing. Amen? And I know that His unending grace and mercy is in my life today, and I will not abuse it because I am thankful because He has supplied me a path, but I must be on that path. Amen? And I'm not going to listen to what men have to say or women have to say. I'm going to listen to what the Bible has to say. And in all my heart, I am going to seek understanding of the truth. You understand? And the truth is what God has written, not what some people think. I can go through this Bible and make it say whatever I want. I have that kind of knowledge. I could twist it. I could skirt it. I could dress it, or I could strip it. Amen? But I'm telling you that whenever I hear Jesus speak, whenever I hear the Word of God saying things, I do not discount it with my human intellect. And the biggest thing I'm always hearing is that, well, that was for then, and this is for now. And I'm here to tell you people that it was for then, and it is for now. And it is all one living word from Genesis to Revelation. And Jesus said, "I have not come to take away from the word." Amen? But to fulfill the word. You understand? And so if you think for a minute, because of Jesus, you're getting out of anything that you may understand, but you don't really understand. You see, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are not in some kind of war. Did you get that? They are one. And Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. And you cannot discount anything from anything. The same things that made God angry when He destroyed the world make God angry today. The same kind of things that destroyed 22,000 for sexual immorality in the time of Moses are the same kind of things that make God angry today. There is nothing that has changed except for we're too smart for our own britches. Did you get that? We lean heavily on Jesus' mercy and grace and totally discount the fact that we have got to receive that mercy and grace and get on the path in order to find the way home. Jesus is the way and the truth unto life. And many will look for it and not find it. And He's the same one that said, "Wide is the path that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads unto life." You know, a lot of people will tell me that I'm a legalist, and it's like I told you before earlier, I am a relationist. Amen? I know that you can't do this unless you get in relationship with Jesus. Because He is the way. But if you would dare to get tight and walk with Him every day of your life, you're not only going to do okay, you're going to do great. And what I'm trying to get through to you today is in all you're getting, you must get real understanding. There are a lot of the things in this book that I do not like. And I'll be honest to you, and I'm honest before God. I just know that it's a waste of time me asking Him why, because I used to do that and He never answered me yet. He does not have to answer me why He did things. I wish He would, but if He answered me once, He probably knows that He'd open up a big old cavity inside of me and I'd be whining Him to death the rest of my life. But I do know this, that He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And not one part of His Word will fall away. It says in the Bible, the earth will pass away. But my Word will never pass away. So what makes you think you have the right to discount anything that's in that Bible? Because if the earth will pass away first, and we're still on it, certainly nothing in the Word of God is going to pass away. So in all you're getting, get understanding. And when you get real understanding, the fear of the Lord will be in your life. Because you'll never get real understanding until you understand the fear of the Lord. It doesn't mean He wants to thump you in the head. But it does mean that you're not going to punk Him. He is God. You are the created. He is the creator. You don't tell Him what it's all about. He tells you what it's all about. And it really just breaks down just that simple. Can you be forgiven? Absolutely. The blood of Jesus is sufficient for all. Amen? But at what a cost it has come to us, you will not abuse it without consequence in your life. Hallelujah. Father, I love You, God, and I'm so thankful for Your Word. It really sets my mind at ease because I know that I don't have to wonder, Lord. It's all written right here, God. And God, as I explore it and as I believe in it and as I deliver it to others, Lord, every day I am just thankful that You had some people sit down and write it for us, God. God, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit because it says that we will be led into all truth by Your Spirit inside, if we will ask. And Lord, I am thankful because You affirm Yourself in everything in my life through Your Word and through Your Spirit so I can know the rights and know the wrongs. And as long as I do not have calluses on my heart, but I am sensitive to Your Spirit and Your Word in my life. I love You, God. Please give these same things to every person in this room. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.